Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to spend the next 30 minutes on a visit to the Hen House. Yes, this is the Hen House, featuring the comedy talents of Elvia Allman, Mary Jane Croft, Florence Hollop, and Joseph Pevney. The singing of Audie Wayne and the Keynoters, the music of Jerry Fielding and the orchestra, yours happily, Jack McElroy, and starring the gal who was born a headliner and always remained a headliner, that young, vivacious, and versatile personality, Mitzi Green.
Introduction has been made. My entrance music has been played. I am in the spotlight. You are in the dark, anxiously awaiting my opening remark. I can hear people whispering, will it be clever? Will it be smart? Or will it be sincere and come from the heart? Bill Silver says, glad to see you. Bert Law enters with a nah, nah, nah. Ted Lewis asks, is everybody happy? And Jolson breaks into a mammy song. Eddie Cantor talks about his Ida. And Milton Berle makes with a funny crack, thanks, Mom. Tucker shouts that life begins at 40. And Danny Thomas slays him with, no, Jack. Hildegard displays her charms, quotes some French, and waves her arms. Quelle charmante, and how's your tante? She'll sigh. I find it tough to start my show. Kate Thompson even used hello, 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 and hi. Now there's nothing left for me except goodbye. Thank you very much, and of course, you know I'm only kidding about saying goodbye because, well, I've always wanted to do a radio show. You see, aside from a few guest appearances and some programs for the Treasury Department and the Armed Forces, I never really deal. And about this show I want to do, I thought maybe it should be a story about a girl whose name is, well, let's call her Mitzi Green. Now, this Mitzi is an average girl, young, easy to get along with, and ambitious. I'd also like to tell you that she's alluring, glamorous, and gorgeous. Yes, I'd like to tell you that, but I can't because I'm going to play the part. Now, if you'll play along with me, I'd like to tell you about this radio Mitzi Green. Mitzi arrived in the big city a few years ago. She got off the bus, walked through the station into the busy street. I don't mind telling you that Mitzi was scared. Being alone, first time in the big city, she was worried whether it was going to be friendly. Just then, a cab pulled up, and the driver said,
taxi, honey.
The cab driver must have known how Mitzi felt because he went out of his way to be friendly. In fact, he went too far out of his way, including a stop in the park for half an hour. Finally, Mitzi said to him, haven't you got that carburetor fixed yet?
Pretty soon, baby, pretty soon.
If we don't get out of this park pretty quick, I'll never get anywhere.
If we do, I won't.
Exactly. Now, come on, let's get going.
Okay, baby. Now, where did you say you wanted to go?
I didn't say. You didn't give me a chance. You see, I'm looking for a place to live.
A place to live, huh? Well, how about the hen house?
The hen house? Now, wait a minute. I don't want to live in a hen house.
No, no, no. The hen house ain't a hen house. It's a rooming house, and it's run by a woman named Rosella Hen.
Uh-oh. Rosella Hen. The hen house. Cute.
Yeah, it's full of cute little chicks, too. You see, it's for girls only, but it's a nice place. The rooms are clean. They got the nicest wallpaper. Tiny little black and white checks.
Yeah, just a minute. If this place is for girls only, how do you know so much about the inside of the room?
Well, I live in the building next door.
I see.
So do I. But those kids that live there, they're the smartest bunch of girls I never saw.
What do you mean?
Well, they're always a shade ahead of me.
Well, that was Mitzi's introduction to Shorty. Cab driver, bon vivant, and part-time peeper. And that's how she happened to go to the hen house. She got out of the cab, walked up the steps, rang the bell, the door opened, and a very pleasant-voiced woman greeted Mitzi with, no vacancy! No vacancy. Gosh, are you sure of that? Are you Mrs. Hen?
Yes, I'm Rosella Hen. And before we go any further, I don't cackle, I don't go out with roosters, I don't sleep in a coop, and I buy my eggs at the market.
Well, that was Misty's introduction to Rosella Hen. But in spite of the way she sounded, Mrs. Hen turned out to be a pretty good egg. She felt sorry for Mitzi and fixed it so Mitzi could share a room with one of the other girl tenants. The first girl Mitzi met was Tallulah Oberon, born Lulu O'Brien. Tallulah was a model. She was a tall, willowy, blue-eyed blonde with a mink-catching face and a wolf-whistle figure. You'd expect a girl with all that deluxe equipment to be a little egotistical. But Tallulah wasn't a little egotistical at all, because the first time she met Mitzi, she said,
"Hello, Miss Green. Oh, don't you think I'm one of the most gorgeous girls you've ever seen?" Well, that's all right. You can say yes. It won't affect my vanity. After all, it's perfectly obvious.
You certainly are.
Yes, well, I could take offense to that, but I won't. Many girls are envious of my beauty, so I'm not at all surprised when I arouse the jealousy of one as ugly as you.
Ugly? Just a minute. What have I got that you haven't got?
Oh, no, my dear. You mean, what have I got that you haven't got? You've got it backwards.
Yeah. Maybe that's the trouble. I've got it backwards. And that was Mitzi's introduction to Tallulah Oberon. Part-time model, part-time social butterfly, and full-time schmo. So Mitzi didn't move in with Tallulah because she could see that living with her could only lead to two things: justifiable homicide. Then Rosella Hen introduced Mitzi to Tilly Brown, and she and Mitzi became friends right from the start. Tilly was short, sweet, and dopey, but her heart was as big as Tallulah's head. Of course, Tilly didn't need a big head. What she had in it would fit into a peanut shell and rattle yet. For example, one day, while she was fixing dinner, she turned to Mitzi and said,
"Say, Mitzi, I think I ought to put another head of cabbage in the soup."
"But, Tilly, you've got one head in there already."
"Well, you know the old saying, two heads are better than one." "Mitzi, I forgot to tell you, I gotta go out looking for another new job tomorrow morning."
"Another one? But, Tilly, this will be the fourth job you've lost this month."
"Well, you know how those bosses are, always making passes."
"Go on."
"Well, yesterday, my buzz boss, my boss buzz, for that cute blonde secretary who sits next to me, see? So she went in to take dictation. About 3 minutes later, she came running out of his office and quit. Then he buzzed for me, so I went in."
"Well, what happened?"
3 minutes later, he came running out and quit. "Anyway, I lost my job. Gee, Missy, you've had one job ever since you came to town. How do you do it?"
"Simple. When I get to the office every morning, first thing I do is disconnect my buzz's bosser."
"Really?"
"Nah, of course not. It just happens I like my job. I like music, and I want to write songs. Well, working for a music publisher might help me get started."
"Gee, you a songwriter. I bet you'll be famous someday, and I'll see your name on beautiful songs like Ave Maria, The Star-Spangled Banner, and Woody Woodpecker."
"Nah, you know, Billy, I haven't had any songs published yet, but I've met some of the stars, and someday they might be singing my songs."
"Oh, gee, that's exciting. Have you met any of the real big stars, like Kate Smith, just to name a few?"
"Oh, sure I am." "Silly, you know, part of my job is to get the stars to sing my boss's songs. Like, last week, I brought a new song up to Al Jolson. And I said, 'Mr. Jolson, I think you're going to like this song.' And he said to me, 'Mitty baby, it ain't got a mammy in it, not an April shower in it. Oh, no, I'm just going to love it. Yeah, yeah.'"
"Mitzi, you mean..."
"Now, wait a minute. There's one more. Yeah." "So I said, 'I'd appreciate it if you'd sing my boss's song, Mr. Jolson.' And he said, 'Then, honey, baby, you don't have to call me Mr. Jolson. You can call me Asa.'"
"See what a job you have. Maybe someday you'll introduce me to one of those tall, dark, handsome, romantic singers."
"But, Tilly, I thought you were kind of crazy about Shorty, the cab driver."
"I am, but he don't feel the same way about me. He just can't see me for dust."
"Have you tried cleaning your windows lately?"
"Oh, what's the use? Ever since you came along, Shorty can't see anyone but you."
"Oh, Shorty's all right, but he's not the kind of a man who does something to me. You know, the kind like, well, like the fellow I met today."
"The fellow you met today? Who was he?"
Artie Wayne.
Artie Wayne?
Yes.
Who's he?
You mean you've never heard of Artie Wayne? He's the new singing sensation. Gosh, he's nice. He's handsome, sweet, shy. I met him this morning for the first time. I was in the office sorting some music when the door opened. Yes, it opened like it's never opened before.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
I'm Artie Wayne.
I'm Mitzi Green.
That's nice.
Well, what can I do for you, as if I wouldn't like to?
I'm opening at the Empire Room tonight, and I dropped in to pick up something.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll get my hat and coat.
You don't understand. You see, I met your boss at lunch today, and he said he had a good rhythm song up here that he would like me to look at. And all I want is a copy of it.
Wait a minute. I'll burn my hat and coat. Now, what was the name of that song?
Well, it's called Romance and Rhythm. Do you know where it is?
No, let me see now. I'm not quite sure.
I'll be glad to help you look for it.
Huh? Oh, well, in that case, I think it's in that dark closet over there.
Oh, wait. Hey, here's a copy right on top of the piano.
Oh, yeah, but I'll bet there's a much nicer copy in the closet.
This one is all right. Goodbye.
Oh, wait a minute. I've never heard you sing before, and I won't be going to the opening tonight, and I thought, well, maybe if you weren't in a hurry and you didn't have anything else to do, well, maybe you might...
You mean you'd like to have me sing for you?
Wow. I was running out of hints.
Well, all right. I hope that you like this song.
Just be awful late, but didn't we have fun? Like New Year's Eve and Christmas, rolled up in one. Now we can hardly see. Sleepy baby, dream of me.
Oh, sleepy baby, dream of me.
I hate to say goodnight. It's wonderful like this. Your face so close to mine. I can steal a kiss. It suits me to a T. Sleepy baby, dream of me.
Sleepy baby, dream of me. Just look at us.
We're just a couple of very tired cats.
Just look at us.
Say, am I holding you up, or just who's holding who up? My dreams and I agree. Sleepy baby,
that's the way I met Artie Wayne.
Artie Wayne?
Yeah.
Who's he?
Oh, stop, Tilly. When he sang, I felt like I was in another world. I wish he felt the same way about me.
So do I. Because if you had a fella and Shorty knew you had a fella, then Shorty'd be my fella. Then you'd have a fella and I'd have a fella. And believe me, that's the best arrangement for girls.
Look, Tilly, I think the... Come in. Oh, it's Mrs. Hen.
Mitzi, I have a message for you. Your boss phoned.
Well, what did he want?
Well, it seems the office boy forgot to deliver some music to the Empire Room, and he wants you to pick it up and bring it over tonight.
The Empire Room? That's where Artie Wayne is opening tonight.
Oh, gee, Mitzi, you're going to get to go to the opening after all.
Oh, I'm so happy. I've never been to an important opening night before. It isn't as exciting.
Oh, opening night. Oh, what memories that brings to me.
Oh, well, did you used to go to opening nights, Mrs. Hen?
Often, my dear. but never as a spectator. I was the star.
Really? I never knew you were in show business, Mrs. Hens.
My dear, I was show business. Well, I can see the marquee now. Grand opening tonight. Anna Hill, Lillian Russell, Sarah Bernhardt, and Rosella Hens, Cats and Dogs.
Oh, you did an animal act.
Yes, but for an encore, I personally did a dance. Oh, the can-can. Down, down, da 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 da.
Oh, what a grand old gal she is. But this isn't getting me to the opening. I better get dressed.
Yeah, I'll help you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, and I'll need a cab.
Well, I'll call Shorty, huh?
No, never mind. I'll stick a note on the window.
Okay. Say, what are you going to wear, Mitzi?
I don't know. Do you think I ought to wear my blue polka dot?
Well...
Make a decision, because that's it.
Oh, hello, girl.
Oh, Tallulah. Come on in.
I just happened to overhear your conversation about the opening tonight. Not that I was eavesdropping, of course. Oh, of course. You just happened to be passing the keyhole on your knees. That is not so. I was on my way to the bath, and I accidentally dropped my box of bubble bath. Well, pick up your bubbles and blow.
Don't talk like that, Tilly. Come on in and sit down, Tallulah.
You know, I'm going to Artie Boy's opening, too.
Artie Boy?
Oh, yes. Artie and I are quite intimate, you know. He insists that I attend all his premiere performances. You see, the very sight of me does something to him. It makes him sparkle, bubble, effervesce. I get the same effect from Alka-Seltzer.
Are you going to the early show, Tallulah?
Oh, no, I won't be able to arrive for the early performance. I'm going to the theater first, and I can't possibly get to the Empire Room before 12 midnight. Oh, I simply can't make up my mind what to wear.
I should have that problem.
Now, should I wear my low-cut taffeta, my backless satin, my strapless brocade?
Why don't you just wear your topless bottom and be done with it? Well, if you'll excuse us, Tallulah, I've got to get dressed, too.
Don't tell me you're going to wear that blue polka dot dress to a nightclub like the Empire Room. She don't have to tell you. You heard it through the keyhole. Well, suit yourself. But should we accidentally meet, I'd be obliged if you didn't address me. You see, I'm going out with one of the 400. Goodbye. How do you like that? She's got 400 and we can't even get one. Hey, Mitzi, what's the matter?
Oh, she's right, Tilly. Who am I kidding? I can't go to a formal opening in that dress. Oh, if I only had a wardrobe like Tallulah.
Yeah, what a lucky stiff she is. Everything comes to her on a silver spoon. She's got hats by Dashe of Paris, shoes by Miller of New York, gowns by Adrian of Hollywood.
Yeah, and hair by Hydrogen of Peroxide.
That's a scream, Mitzi.
Nah, that was pretty catty. I'm just jealous, I guess. She's got it, and I haven't. And the same goes for Artie Wayne.
Oh, no, it don't. Not if I can do anything about it, it don't.
Tilly, you're very sweet, but really, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, say, wait a minute. I just happened to remember. I got a beautiful evening gown that I've kept stored in Mrs. Hen's cedar closet for months, and I bet it'll just fit you, too.
Oh, Tilly, that's swell. Let's go get it and see.
Sure. Well, why waste time? You start getting ready while I run downstairs, huh? So you see, Mrs. Hen, if Mitzi don't get an evening gown and go to Artie Wayne's opening, she'll be heartbroken.
Tilly Brown, are you suggesting that we go into Miss Oberon's room after she leaves and borrow clothing from her wardrobe? Why, do you realize that what you're asking me to do is underhanded, sneaky, and entirely unethical?
Yes.
Well, don't just stand there, hand me my pass key and let's go.
This gown is beautiful. But where did you ever get the money to buy anything this expensive?
Oh, I picked it up for practically nothing. Come on, try it on, Mitzi.
All right. Here, now, help me into it.
Okay. There we go. Oh, gosh, do you look super. Take a look in the mirror and see how it fits, Mitz. Gee, it looks real ritzy, Mitzi.
Oh, it does look nice. But isn't it a little daring? It's cut so low.
Oh, that's the newest style. It's called the sinking neckline.
Sinking? This one looks like it's been torpedoed. Shorty. I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I saw the note in the window, so I... Wow, what a classy dress.
Oh, it's nothing.
I know, that's what I like about it.
Say, how come you're wearing a tuxedo?
Well, you can't go to Artie Wayne's opening without an escort.
Hey, Shorty, come here a minute. I gotta tell you something.
What do you want, silly?
Well, look, make sure you get Mitzi out of the Empire Room before 12 o'clock.
What's the matter, you jealous?
Yeah, but that ain't the point. That's Tallulah's gown that Mitzi's wearing, only she don't know it, see? And Tallulah's due at the Empire Room at 12 o'clock.
Oh, I see.
Isn't this exciting? Tonight, Mitzi's a regular Cinderella.
Yeah, but if my cab turns into a pumpkin, my boss ain't gonna like it. See you later, Tilly. You know, Mitzi, you look beautiful tonight. I wish we could go out together every night. The way your hair blows in your eyes, and the way your eyes water... And the way you...
Shorty! Look where you're going.
Boy, that was close.
Every time I'm in the cab with you, something happens.
I can't help it, Mitzi. Since I met you, I can't do anything right anymore.
I heard about what happened to you last week.
Oh, you mean when Mae West was riding in my cab?
Yes. Instead of taking her to her own theater, you dropped her off at the theater where Oklahoma was playing.
Yeah, well, anybody can make a mistake.
I can just imagine Mae West stepping out on that stage in a crinoline skirt and sunflower bonnet, singing demurely. Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when they get me out in that Surrey. When they get this gal out in that Surrey with the fringe on top. Oh, what a horrible morning. Oh, what a horrible day. I've got a horrible feeling. Nothing's going my way, but nothing. What am I doing in this tired, tasseled pushcart with all these feathered farm friends clacking and knocking themselves out? That's all, brother. Oh, this country living ain't the life for little me. I start to wheeze and cough and sneeze every time I get near the hay. Oh, this rural life to me is nothing but a frost. I'm a city chick, so get me out of here, but quick. Oklahoma, get lost.
Well, that mistake was pretty bad, but you should have seen what happened to Ethel Barrymore. Instead of taking her to the Guild Theater, I dumped her off at a jumping jive joint full of hepcats.
Ethel Barrymore? I can just picture Ethel Barrymore out on that floor singing... Cement mixer. Whatty, whatty. Cement mixer, whatty. Cement mixer. Scrunchy, wunchy. Woodly boo, woodly bump. Slush that pump. I don't quite grasp the meaning. I can't find it in any book. I don't know how to truck it or how to play gut bucket. I haven't that hepcat look. A schnook. Cement mixer. Putty watty. Cement mixer watty. Cement paddle. Oodle-addle. Boing! Bahabut, that's all there is. There isn't any more time.
You know, I gotta be careful from now on. Can you imagine what would happen if I picked up Sophie Tucker? And instead of taking her to a nightclub, I took her to a musical comedy like Annie Get Your Gun.
Boy, that'd be great. Sophie Tucker would do a wonderful job as Annie. Boy, she'd strut right out on that stage, and before you knew it, she'd be swinging into... There's no business like show business. Like no business, I know. I'm hotter than that city burned by Nero. For 40 years, this mama has been shot. When up there, I'll be singing while my hero, Ted Shapiro, plays on his harp. There's no people like show people. And your Sophie ought to know. I may look like December, but I'm as spry as May. And when I dine with a gentleman,
I always say. You'd be surprised how many books I sell that way. And here's another thing you ought to know. You may not believe it. People say I should give up my singing chores and be put out for grazing like Man of War. But this gal will be blazing for 40 years more. So stop your grief. Look over here, baby. I'm gonna be your sanctuary.
Well, Mitzi, I didn't make any mistakes tonight. Here we are, the Yankee Stadium.
The Yankee Stadium? We're going to the Empire Room.
Whoops. Hop back in the cab.
Oh, gee, this Empire Room is a beautiful place, huh, Shorty? And look at all the people that showed up for opening night. Artie Wayne is sure popular, isn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, Shorty, you're just green with envy.
Oh, no, I'm just green with Mitzi.
Well, anyway, excuse me, Shorty. I've got to go over and give this music to Mr. Wayne.
Don't go, Mitzi. Stay where you are.
What's the matter?
Look who just came in the door, Tallulah Oberon.
So what?
So what? I might as well tell you so what. That gown you're wearing ain't Tilly's. It's Tallulah's, and Tallulah don't know you got it. And if Tallulah finds out you've got it, you'll get it.
No, Shorty, if she ever finds out...
Look out. She's coming over to our
table.
What
am I going to do?
Quick, grab that tablecloth off the table and cover yourself with
it. Well, this is one time I won't squawk about paying a cover charge.
Well, this is a surprise. Fancy seeing you here, Miss Green. And I see you didn't wear your blue polka dot after all. What is that you have on?
Oh, it's the newest by Hattie Carnegie.
Off the shoulder?
No, off the table. Hey, how did you happen to get here so early, Tallulah? You weren't due until midnight.
She must have caught an early broom.
Well, the play we attended was so boring that we decided to leave after the first act.
Oh, have you still got your ticket stuff?
Yes, why?
Oh, give them to us. Come on, Shorty. Let's catch the second act.
Just a moment, Miss Green. That's not a gown you're wearing. Say, what have you got on under that tablecloth?
Table? What else? Come on, let's go, Shorty.
No, just a moment. I want to see something. I thought you were wearing an evening gown.
Of course. What then would you wear in the evening? Come on, Shorty, let's go.
That gown looks very familiar to me.
It does? Come on, Shorty.
I once owned a gown exactly like that.
Oh, small world, isn't it, Shorty?
Whatever did I do with that gown? Oh, now I remember. I gave it to the Salvation Army.
The Salvation Army?
Come on, Sister Mitzi. We're due at the mission in 10 minutes.
Now, Mitzi, don't you worry about Tallulah. The gown is back in her closet, and she'll never be able to prove a thing.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Henn. You're swell.
And, Mitzi, don't you feel so bad about Tallulah being at the Empire Room alone with Artie? I don't think she's going to have such a good time.
What do you mean?
Well, this afternoon, I helped her sew a zipper in that strapless evening gown she's wearing.
Well?
The way I sewed the zipper in, the first time Artie asked her to get up and dance, she'll get up, but her gown will be sitting it out.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming along with me. That's the end of the first installment of Radio's Mitzi Green, Who Lives in the Hen House. I hope you liked it. And if you want to hear any more installments, well, we'll all be back again. Thank you again. Thanks to my wonderful cast. Thanks to Jerry Fielding, Artie Wayne, and the keynoters. Thanks to my producer, director, Dick Mack. Thanks to my writers, Jack Harvey and Phil Shuker. Thanks for listening, and good night, everybody.